I thought we'd look into the all-important subject in this Bible study of which laws in the Old Testament are done away in the New Testament. This is a subject that has caused great confusion. And Peter told Christians in the book that is called 2 Peter near the end to beware of people who twist Paul's writings. And liberal theologians do that to make it seem as if God's laws are done away or obsolete when they are not. And nothing could be more important. Now, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong was a teacher of the law, and Jesus was a teacher of the law, and the apostles were too, as were the Old Testament prophets. Now, the Ten Commandments were the basis of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And yet the New Testament says that certain laws of the Old Testament are done away, and that the Old Covenant itself is obsolete. And yet the Ten Commandments were the basis of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant is obsolete, and we're living under the New Covenant now. But the law of God, the Ten Commandments, are just as much in force today as they were in the days of Moses and all through the Old Covenant period. It says near the end of the book of Malachi that we're supposed to remember the law which God gave in the days of Moses with the statutes and the judgments. And then God mentions that he would send Elijah the prophet, or a messenger in the spirit of Elijah in the end times. Someone who would teach the people the law of God, the law that God gave in the days of Moses. And it just happens to be the same teaching of Jesus and the apostles. But let's look into this all-important subject of which laws in the Old Testament are obsolete and done away, and which ones remain. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. It says that Moses was with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water during that period. And God wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So Moses had the two tables of stone, and God wrote with his own hand the words of the Ten Commandments, which were the basis of what we call the Old Covenant now, the Old Testament. It calls the Ten Commandments the words of the covenant. See, the Ten Commandments were the basis of the Old Covenant. And then turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13. And Moses stated that God declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. Now, once again, there's the basis of the Old Covenant, the 10 commandments, which God wrote with his own hand on the two tables of stone that he gave Moses. And Moses put them inside the Ark of the Covenant, and there they remained. And the Ten Commandments are the very heart of the covenant between God and his people, in both the Old and the New Covenants, in both of those periods. Now, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. Now, these very words are quoted in the New Testament, as we shall see. Behold, the days shall come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their inward parts and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer teach one another to know the Lord, because they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, in that day. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no longer. Now this is so important. Now this is the new covenant, and you see that God's laws are the basis of the new covenant also, just as they were the basis of the old covenant. But now, ever since the time of Jesus Christ, and in this church age, and leading up to the wonderful world tomorrow, which will be the seventh millennial day of human history, when God will make this covenant with the whole house of Israel and the house of Judah. And God said in the book of Ezekiel that God would join Israel and Judah together under one government. God told Ezekiel to take two sticks, one representing Israel and the other representing the Jews, Judah, and just put them together into one stick, because the time will come when they will be joined together, and Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David and govern all 12 tribes of Israel. And the apostles will govern the 12 tribes. Each one will be given one of the tribes to take care of in the world tomorrow. And God will hold up Israel as the leading nation, the example for all other nations to follow in the world tomorrow. And God's going to write His laws, meaning the Ten Commandments, in their hearts. God said in the book of Joel that He would pour out His Holy Spirit upon all human beings in the world tomorrow. The Holy Spirit is living water, and it flows down the riverbed of the Ten Commandments. And God writes His laws in people's hearts and minds now, even in the church, in the church age. The true members of the true church are being led by God's Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God's law, the Spirit of love. You know, the two great commandments are both love. Love God and love your neighbor. And the first fruit of God's Holy Spirit is love. And God's love comes into you. And the Apostle Paul said that if God's love is in you, you'll automatically be keeping the Ten Commandments. Love does no harm to his neighbor, Paul said. Any commandment that God gave, you know, such as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and so on, are summed up by the one law that you should love your neighbor as yourself. If God's law is in your heart, you'll be keeping the Ten Commandments, all ten of them. Now, we've seen here in the book of Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy that the Ten Commandments were the basis of the Old Covenant. We see here in the book of Jeremiah that God's laws are the basis of the New Covenant also. And if you study the book of Hebrews, chapters 7 through 10, it will explain very clearly which laws are done away and obsolete and which laws remain. It explains that, and we're going to go through that now. And we're going to see that there were two kinds of laws given in the Old Testament. One kind told you what sin is. It defined sin, and that is the Ten Commandments. And the other kind of law told Israel what to do after a sin had been committed. And the Israelites were supposed to bring an animal sacrifice to the priest, and that animal would be sacrificed. And then God would forgive the sin of the individual. So there were two kinds of laws. One kind told you what is sin, and the other told you what to do after a sin had been committed. And Christ's sacrifice and the new covenant changes the second kind of law, but not the first. Now let's look at that. Let's firmly establish this so we can understand this question about which laws were done away in the Old Testament. Now let's look at some New Testament scriptures here. First, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Now this is a question which has perplexed a lot of people. And the liberal theologians twist the scriptures and they don't put them together properly and they cause people to be confused. Well, let's straighten it out right here and now. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now, Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill Bible prophecy. And Jesus fulfilled many of the prophecies of the Old Testament at his first coming. And he's going to fulfill the rest of them at his second coming. Mr. Armstrong said that about 10% of the prophecies were fulfilled at Christ's first coming. The 90% that remain are yet to be fulfilled. And Jesus didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. You can read in Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, we're not going to turn there right now, that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies that said the Messiah had to suffer and to be killed and to rise again the third day. And he did that. But the rest of the prophecies about the coming of the world tomorrow and the government of God being restored over the whole earth and God's kingdom coming in its fullness are yet to be fulfilled. Jesus hasn't done that yet. That's yet to come. But Jesus said here, "Don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets." Verse 18, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law until all the Bible prophecies are fulfilled." You can go back and read on your own such scriptures as Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, where God said, "Behold, the days will come when I will make a new heaven and a new earth, and people will no longer remember the old heaven and earth." And he talks about how during the new heaven and earth period, people are going to build houses and plant vineyards and bear children and obey God and worship God from Sabbath to Sabbath and from month to month. And even the animals, which will exist at that time, will not hurt or destroy one another because it will be the kingdom of God on the earth. And there will be human beings and animals on the earth during that new heaven and earth period. That's what the Bible says. But when this transition comes at Christ's second coming from the present heaven and earth to the new heaven and earth, which means the wonderful world tomorrow, not one jot nor one tittle will pass from the law until all of those Bible prophecies are fulfilled. And that's what it says in verses 17 and 18. Then Jesus says that whoever will break even one of the least commandments and teach men so, it doesn't say he'll be in the kingdom of God. It says he'll be called the least by those who are in the kingdom of God. Oh, they didn't teach the law of God. They watered down the law of God. They didn't teach the straight and narrow path that leads to life. They taught the broad way that leads to destruction. And they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and teach in your name?" And Jesus will say, I don't know you. I never knew you. You teachers of lawlessness, depart from me. You didn't do my Father's will." And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But those who build their lives on the teachings of Jesus, and what he taught, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, but throughout his ministry, and what the apostles taught, and what the church is supposed to believe, because the church is built on the foundation of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Those individuals are building their lives on a rock-solid foundation that will never fall. Their house will never fall. But those who hear the word of God and don't keep it, well, their house is going to fall. All right. So this is what Jesus taught. Don't think I came to destroy the law or the Bible prophecies. No way. All right. Now, let's proceed further. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 6. Paul writes that God has made us able ministers of the new covenant. The new covenant. And then he talks about the old covenant being done away. And it was a glorious covenant. But the new covenant is even more glorious than the old covenant. Now verse 11. For if that which has been done away was glorious, how much more that which remains is glorious. Now you see, certain things have been done away, and other things remain. Something remains. And then, let's go over now to the book of Hebrews, and let's look at some of the scriptures in Hebrews chapters 7 through 10, which cover this subject in great detail. And for that matter, the book of Galatians is all about this too. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul quotes from the Old Testament, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." And then Paul says, "He takes away the first, that he may establish the second." Now here, Paul says that something is done away, and something else remains. And when you read this chapter in context, it's talking about the sacrifices of the Old Covenant. Back in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10, the law, having a shadow of good things to come, could not, with the sacrifices that were offered year by year, make the people perfect. For then they would have ceased to be offered. And then he keeps on talking about the sacrifices. And then in verse 9, as we read, he takes away the first, but he establishes the second. And the thing that is established is in verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. In their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now that's what's established. But the Old Testament sacrifices are obsolete. Let's go back to chapter 8 and verse 13. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says, a new covenant, he makes the first old or obsolete. Now, that which is obsolete is ready to vanish away. Your Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And the Old Covenant is obsolete and done away. But the New Covenant remains. We read in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy that the Ten Commandments were the covenant, the old covenant, and that God wrote them on two tables of stone with his own hand, and he gave them to Moses. And Moses put the two tables in the Ark of the Covenant, and they were at the heart of the agreement between God and his people. And the Ark of the Covenant was put inside the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and later in Solomon's temple, in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. And the Holy of Holies represented God's presence in the midst of his people. And God's agreement with them was that they should keep the Ten Commandments. Of course, God didn't give them the Holy Spirit, but he gave them the words of the Ten Commandments and the statutes and the judgments. The statutes and the judgments told Israel what to do if somebody broke the Ten Commandments, how to handle it. And all of that included the animal sacrifices, the temple ritual, and the Levitical priesthood. It was all part of that system. And that's all abolished and washed away and done away now. But the Ten Commandments remain. Now let's go back to Hebrews 7. I said Hebrews chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10 cover this subject in detail about what is done away and what remains. What is obsolete and what is not obsolete. In Hebrews 7 and verse 12, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change of the law." Now notice, the priesthood has been changed because Jesus Christ is the high priest of the new covenant. In the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi was the priestly tribe. Now, the Levites as a tribe, as a whole, they were helpers to the priests. Now, the priests were also Levites. God called Aaron, the brother of Moses, to be the first high priest. And in due time, when Aaron died, then his son became the next high priest. And on it went throughout the days of the Old Covenant period. The high priest was always a direct descendant of Aaron. And the rest of the sons of Aaron were priests. So there was one high priest, and then there were other priests who would help the high priest. And then the rest of the Levites would help the priests. But all of them together were Levites, because they were descended from one of the sons of Jacob, who had 12 sons, but the son who was called Levi was the tribe that was chosen by God to be the priestly tribe. And they were serving at the tabernacle that God wanted Moses to build, and they did that. But here now in Hebrews 7 verse 12, it says the priesthood has been changed, and the law has been changed. Verse 13, "For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, which was not selected to be the priestly tribe in the old covenant. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, not Levi, of which tribe Moses did not speak concerning priesthood. But God chose Jesus Christ to be the high priest of the new covenant." That changes the Old Testament law. And look in chapter 9, and verse 9, we'll pick it up there and read on into verse 10. "Now, the Old Testament tabernacle was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered gifts and sacrifices that could not make him who did the service perfect as pertaining to their mind, their character, what was between their ears, the spirit inside of them. When you sin, it defiles the spirit that's inside of you. But the Old Testament sacrifices didn't clean up people's minds. It didn't write God's laws on their heart and in their mind. So those sacrifices, verse 10, stood only in meats and drinks and various washings and physical ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation." Notice that. Something has been reformed. Now, keep your hand right here in Hebrews, but go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. The Scripture has concluded all under sin, so that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that would later be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. See, now that Christ has come, and he became the Passover lamb who takes away the sins of the world, when people repent and believe and accept Jesus' sacrifice and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and they receive the Holy Spirit of God, and now they're under grace, and certainly not under the penalty of the law. Now, Jesus Christ is their high priest. And they don't look to the human high priest, the son of Aaron, who was the high priest and served in the physical temple in Jerusalem in those days. The second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and the Levites lost their jobs. The priests didn't have anything else to do because they had to offer their animal sacrifices at the temple and on the altar. And there was no more temple nor altar after 70 AD. But for the Christians, Jesus Christ was alive and well, up in heaven at the right hand of God. And he's their high priest, and he's their sacrifice. And they come to God through him, and their sins are taken away. And God sends them his Holy Spirit, and they're living the Christian life now. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But the old covenant is obsolete and done away. Now, we just read in Hebrews 9, verse 10, that the Old Testament sacrifices and rituals and the Levitical priesthood was imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Verse 11, but Christ has come, and he's the high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. It discusses that in great detail. But go back to Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things that we are speaking, this is the summary. We have a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the true sanctuary and tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. It's not a physical temple. And then dropping down, verse 6, but now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry than the Old Testament priests, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. Now I'm just going to drop down to verse 8. For finding fault with the people, God said, behold, the days will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Remember, we read this in Jeremiah, verses 31 through 34 of chapter 31. And now here it is quoted word for word in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. This is what the New Testament is all about. Verse 9, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, because they did not continue in my covenant. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. I will put my laws, see, my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I'm just going to drop down to verse 13 now, which we already read, but I'll read it again. When God uses the expression, a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And the old covenant is obsolete and vanishing away. Now let's go to chapter 10 again. We already read in verse 9 that God is taking the first one away and establishing the second. He's taking the old covenant away because it's obsolete and establishing the second. And what is the new covenant? Down in verse 16, we read that also. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. And dropping down to verse 26, now if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking toward judgment and fiery indignation which will burn up the enemies. Verse 26 is saying that God is still against sin. If you sin willfully after you've become a part of the new covenant, well, look out, because God hates sin. Jesus hates sin. In chapter 7, verse 26, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus is separate from sinners. And go back to chapter 1, verse 8. Unto the Son, God says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Iniquity is translated from the Greek word anomia, which means lawlessness or a flagrant defiance of the known will of God. And Jesus hates that. There are many scriptures in the New Testament which talk about how Jesus hates anomia. Depart from me, you who practice anomia. Those who practice anomia will be burnt up, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 7. I said that there were two kinds of laws given in the Old Testament. One tells you what sin is, and the other tells you what to do after sin has been committed. Now in verse 7, Romans 7, 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. No, I would not have known what sin is except by the law. For I did not know lust except that the law said, you shall not covet. Now that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Paul says, I wouldn't have known what sin is if it weren't for the law. The Ten Commandments told Paul what sin was. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, Paul says, and the commandment is holy and just and good. In verse 14, the law is spiritual. That means the Ten Commandments teach you what sin is. Those laws are the ones to be written on your heart and in your mind, the Ten Commandments. But what if an Israelite sinned in the Old Testament? What should they do? Go back to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5. When anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in any of these matters, they must confess in what way they have sinned. As a penalty for the sin they have committed, they must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for them for their sin. Anyone who cannot afford a lamb is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a penalty for their sin, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. They are to bring them to the priest, who shall first offer the one for the sin offering. He is to wring its neck verse 9, and is to splash some of the blood of the sin offering against the side of the altar. The rest of the blood must be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. The priest shall then offer the other as a burnt offering in the prescribed way and make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. Now, you get the idea. Paul wouldn't have known what sin was if it weren't for the law, namely the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said, "Don't think I came to do away with the law or the prophets." Now, God wrote the Ten Commandments with his own hand on two tables of stone, and he gave them to Moses and told him to put them in the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And there they were, the basis of the agreement between God and Israel. And because of the statutes and the judgments, if an Israelite sinned, they were to bring an animal sacrifice to one of the priests, and it would be offered, and the Israelite would be forgiven. But what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law, of the Ten Commandments. Certain laws have been changed now in the New Covenant. Jesus Christ is our High Priest, and we're no longer under the schoolmaster or the tutor of the Old Covenant, which involved the Levitical priesthood, the temple rituals, and the animal sacrifices. We're not under that system. The first generation of the Church of God and the apostles' converts, including the Apostle Paul's converts, they didn't go to the human high priest in Jerusalem, Caiaphas or Annas. Now, the Apostle Paul even was a servant to the high priest in Jerusalem until Christ converted him on the road to Damascus. And he switched allegiance and became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't want his converts to go put themselves under the dominion or the authority of the high priest in Jerusalem, which authority Paul had broken away from. Paul didn't work for the Levitical priests anymore. He wasn't a Pharisee anymore. He was a Christian now and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's what the book of Galatians is all about. Paul called it bondage for the Christians to be persuaded to go back to the Jewish bureaucracy. The New Testament church was under the law of God, under the government of God. And Jesus was the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus taught people how to keep the Sabbath. And he taught them to keep the Ten Commandments. The rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Which ones? Well, Jesus named five of the Ten Commandments and one of the two great commandments. In the book of Luke, Jesus was asked on two separate occasions, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And on one of those occasions, he said to keep the Ten Commandments. And on the other occasion, he said to keep the two great commandments. So the two great commandments and the Ten Commandments all go together. When Jesus was asked, "Master, which commandment is the greatest one in all of the law?" And Jesus named the two great commandments. The first one, the greatest one, is to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus said that all the other commandments hang on the two great ones. So the Ten Commandments are subdivisions of the two great commandments. And the first four tell you how to love God, and the last six tell you how to love your neighbor. And to break any of those commandments, meaning the two great ones and the Ten Commandments, is sin. And if we sin willfully, it said in Hebrews 10:26, if you purposely break God's commandments, there remains no sacrifice for sins. But if you repent of your sins, then the blood of Christ justifies you. And Paul said in Romans chapter 2 that only those who keep the law will be justified. And that means by the blood of Christ. So God is writing his laws on people's hearts and minds now. That's what the new covenant is all about. Now, Mr. Armstrong used to say that if you had somebody who's in prison and you come to him and say that Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of your sins, my friend, and I'm going to open this prison door and release you from the penalty of your sins. Well, that wouldn't give him permission to go out and commit more sins and crimes and killings and so on. That would be ridiculous. So if we sin willfully, on purpose, when you're not repentant, and you'd do it again because you want to do it, and because you hate the things of God, anomia is the flagrant defiance of the known will of God, and that person is not repentant at all. Well, then there's no sacrifice for them, and they're just heading for a lake of fire, which will burn up the incorrigibly wicked. So let's sum it up now. Which laws are done away from the Old Testament? The laws that told Israel what to do after sin had been committed. Laws regarding the temple ritual and the Levitical priesthood and the animal sacrifices. That's all replaced by Christ's sacrifice now. But which laws remain? The Ten Commandments, the basis of both Old and New Covenants. Now, this is the explanation of what some people find a difficult subject to understand. Which laws are done away in the Old Testament? Which ones remain? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that when he was preaching to the Jews, he became like a Jew, so that he could convert some of the Jews. When he was with the Gentiles, he became like them, as if he were a Gentile, not under God's law, as the Jews were from the Old Testament. But Paul added, not that I am without law to God. I am under the law to God. But Paul tried to convert both Jews and Gentiles to bring them into the church. And in the church of God, there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, and they're all under the same government, which stems from God the Father through Jesus Christ over them all. And there must be no divisions in the church. And all must speak the same thing. The Jews and the Gentiles must all learn to speak the same thing that Christ speaks, and that all of the apostles spoke. They were all in total agreement. Paul agreed with Peter and James and John about the doctrines, and you can read what Peter, James, and John wrote in their letters, and they fully upheld the law of God. But there are some things in Paul's writings that are hard to understand and that some people twist. Now, you want to find out what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught and what is clear? And as Dr. Hay said, don't interpret what is clear by what is unclear in the Bible, but interpret what is unclear by what is clear. Take those scriptures of Paul that are hard to be understood because Paul was speaking to the Gentiles who didn't have the law of God yet. And he tried to become like one of them. But Paul fully upheld the law of God, and he wanted to give the Gentiles time to catch up to what the Jews already knew in the church about the law of God. And Paul didn't want there to be arguments between the Jews and the Gentiles or anything like that, but to be patient and to let people learn and to catch up. Now, what Jesus taught is clear, and what the apostles taught in the general epistles is quite clear. Read James, Peter, and John, and Jude, what they wrote. And when you study the book of Galatians, put it together with Hebrews chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10. And that becomes very clear that some of the laws in the Old Testament are done away, but that others remain. So let's try to really understand this subject of which laws of the Old Testament are done away and which remain. And let's keep the Ten Commandments. Read the first Psalm by David. If you keep God's law and meditate on it, your life will go very well.